Okay, we've got a little fun for you. Now, we just finished fun part one. Now we're going into fun part two. Five, four, three. This is a picture of man-to-man ministry. Figure out which is the man.
What's that? My old sister, the one I used way back in the eighth grade.
I'll be dog.
And with all this talk about him, about how good he's doing in school and all, I got to think about my own school when I dug that up. My old sister,
Bernard D. Fife. This book belongs to Bernard D. Fife. Lost our stolen thing to turn to an RP5.
Maybe this works now too.
Do a book.
Here's the next thing.
The History of the United States of America by an RP5.
Well, remember how we used to paste our onions over the author?
Oh, yeah. Well, you had this a long time.
And you want to know something? There's things right there in that book that I learned that I still remember to this day.
Oh, come on.
To this day. It's amazing how that stuff stays with you. Once you learn something, it never leaves you. It stays locked up tight like the old one.
Does it?
Sure. Here, let me show you. Constitution of the United States. Now, we had to memorize a preamble to that. I still remember.
You do it?
Yeah. Here, I'll show you. Hold on.
Coffees are on the way.
The sad thing about that is that we're going to have a little demonstration later on of scripture review, and I'm going to be, well, both of us are going both directions. But some of mine looks just about like that. If it wasn't so real, it'd be funny. This is a letter I received in 1998. Dear Jim and Norma, I'm so deeply thankful for the way in which you have ministered to her. for these past few months. As I shared with Jim, I have learned as much from your serving, sacrifices, and love than from our time in the Word and in prayer. At the time this was given to me, or sent to me, I noticed his paper, his name was in the newspaper, and his salary was there, $2 million annual salary. CEO of two New York stock exchange listed in stocks. Her, she, and I pray daily for you, your health, and in thanksgiving for your ministry to us. I'll call him Bill. And he tells me in a little detail. It seems that I get one of these letters like this one from RK quite often. Maybe not every week, maybe every month. Has a sound volume. I can crank it up a little bit. But it is really an encouragement to us. My mentor, my discipler, my teacher, counselor, friend, was Gene War. Now, many of you have been here before, but Gene War was a businessman of uncommon vision, worldwide scope, and he picked me up. And why he picked me up, I still can't figure out, except that he was sort of on the side of the road with his collapsible rare bird net. And when somebody came by that looked good, he would just take his net and grab him and do something with him. And that's what he did with me. And as I thought back on the things that Gene has done for me, and I thought of other things that we did together, like taking me bird hunting. Now, I don't think I actually shot any because he was standing behind me. And every time I pulled the trigger, it would go blam, and his gun would go blam. And so I don't think I really ever hit everything, but he gave me credit for three birds that day. He got me involved in witnessing, got me involved in leading a Bible study just right away. And I really didn't have the capability to do it, but we did it anyway. And when someone would come to town, Gene would give me a call on the telephone and say, "Come by the office. I've got somebody I want you to meet." I'd go by there and he'd introduce me, and Gene would introduce me to maybe Lawrence Sanney or somebody, and as though I was really important, as though he really cared for me. And he would pray for me as I was going out. He would stay behind and pray. And if you can pray from heaven, then he's praying now for us. I don't know how that works. I've been thinking a lot about it. But it seems to have an effect. Our ministry goal, this is on page one of your handout. Did everybody get a handout now? Get ready to participate. Our goal is to get, when people ask me what I'm do, this is what I tell them. To follow Jesus Christ with reckless abandon. To follow Jesus Christ with reckless abandon. You know what reckless abandon is? You've given up all means of support. You're sliding along someplace. You don't know what you're going to do in the next second or millisecond. Follow Jesus Christ with reckless abandon. Number two is to pour out their lives for others. Pour out their lives for others. Now this, it's going up on the screen. Cool. And do it in such a way that it reproduces. The next point there is motivating scriptures and promises. Let's have a few share a promise or a motivating verse that you can think of. And I'll start it by giving one. We had this little nifty little card made up, and I put it right on there, and it's amazing. I'll go to the barbershop or something. What do you do? This is what I do. It's easy. Ken Wheeler taught me how to be witnessing 24/7. I don't do it, but I've been taught. This is Isaiah 43:4. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Doesn't that sound something? That's God's love letter to you. And to you. And to John and David. Clyde. Bob. Because you are precious in my eyes. And honored, and I love you. I picture Jesus Christ walks up to me and he says, Jim, I'm crazy about you. I can't live without you. Maybe that's not good theology, but it wakes me up to the reality. Because you're precious in my eyes and honored and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. When I read that just the first time, I said, that's what I want to do all my life. That's my motivating verse. Okay, who will share? Go ahead.
Psalm 71:17-18. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come.
The reference again?
Psalm 71:17-18.
Isn't that powerful? That is really something. Good night. Okay, who else? Ken.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain.
Ken, do you do music? And did we go out in one of these little portable buildings and do some guitar playing?
Last year.
No, this hadn't been.
No, not this year. Last year, I played.
No, you were up here. This was just after everything was down, slowed down. I've got a powerful story that happened to me when we went out there in that little portable building and played. No, it's just been 4 or 5 years ago.
This is my second.
Oh, okay. Well, sorry. I don't have a child. I don't have a story. Oh, no. I stood next to you. I played the band and I stood right beside you. That's right. Well, thanks for coming back. All right. Who else has got one? Yes, and your name is John.
Chris.
Hebrews 6:10
says, for God is not unjust to forget the love which you have shown towards his name, and while ministering and still do minister to the saints.
Good. Excellent. John?
This is Job 11:13-16. Yet if you devote your heart to him and stretch out your hands to him, you put away the sin that's in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You'll stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water has gone by.
What verses?
Job 11:13-16. Thank you.
A few more. This we see what causes, once these verses get a hold of you, they don't let go. Yes.
2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these in the presence of the faithful man will be able to teach others also.
That's our marching orders. That's what we do every day. Okay, who else? Somebody had one? Yes. Yes, sir. Your name?
Psalm 42:3a, he lifted me up out of a terrible pit, out of miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God.
Amen. That's excellent. Any more? There's some green shirt.
Colossians 1:28-29. So naturally we proclaim Christ. We want to warn everyone we meet. Everyone we can, all that we know about him, so that if possible we may bring everyone to every man of full maturity in Christ. This is what I'm working at every day with all the strength
of God gives me. Colossians 1:28-29. Scooch so that you're in groups of two and share at least one verse that motivates you with your partner and partner back to you. It works. Okay, our objectives are to see the distinction of establishing and equipping, to deepen convictions, clarify vision, and some practical suggestions on content and conduct of man-to-man ministry. And somebody said, boy, that's a lot of information just on these little eight little pages. If I just read that and tried to do something about it, I could make out pretty well. But let's focus up sharper than we have before. And I want to introduce to you Michael Bumback, who will come and talk to us on a couple of pages here.
Okay, so what is this ministry? Can someone stand up and read that definition real loud for me?
Intimate sharing of life and the Bible in a mentor-pupil relationship, a mutual commitment for maximum teaching, training and transference of knowledge, skills, and character for establishing the person as a solid disciple and or equipping him as a lifetime laborer in all aspects of spiritual development.
Okay, so there's lots and lots of things. Teaching, training, transferring knowledge, teaching someone skills and character. And so there's a lot at stake in this ministry, okay? All right, let's see here. Okay, so if you look on page 2, you have this little diagram. And this is something that Jim taught me, and I think it's pretty neat. And so what it is you've got 4 circles there, okay? And so let's look at our first one, okay? And this is kind of the, I guess this is kind of the timeline of a disciple. And this was your timeline at some point, okay? And when I start getting into it, it'll make a little more sense for you, all right? So in your first circle, you have your contacts, okay? Now, these are the people that are around you. These are the people that God has placed in your path, your friends, your family, people you meet at work, people you work with. These are all the people that you can minister to, okay? So those are your contacts. And so as you look, you have little lines there, okay? And so all throughout the process from one circle to the next is where you can witness or you can evangelize to somebody, okay? And so what's one of the most important things that you need to evangelize to somebody or to witness to somebody? Gospel, testimony, what else? What was that? Opportunity, okay? What else? Credibility, okay. What else? Okay. How about, who can tell me what John 5:24 says?
This is my basic belief.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Okay. All right.
And for assurance of salvation.
Thank you very much. All right. What about 1 John 1:3? Does anybody know that one?
That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father, with his Son Jesus.
Okay. Thank you very much, Bob. All right. What about Romans 1:16?
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. How about Matthew 4:19? Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll make you fishers of men. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew 9:37-38, who knows that one?
The harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Pray therefore, Lord, for harvest, that he may send forth laborers into the field.
Okay, Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And so, you have a bunch of verses here, okay? And so one of the most important things you need God's word. You need it in you. You need to be able to apply it. You need to be able to portray that message, okay? And so that's one of the most important things that you need to witness to somebody is God's word, okay? And then I think maybe I have another one up there. Yeah, Romans 10:9-10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then Hebrews 10:24-25. Does anybody know that one? And let us consider.
Let us consider how to stimulate one another towards love and good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
and conversations we're doing with ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more as you see the day approaching.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Okay. So, all right. So as you continue on this path, there's lots of steps. It doesn't happen overnight. Evangelism is a process. It doesn't just happen where you share the gospel with somebody and then they accept Christ the next day or that same day. It usually doesn't happen like that. There was a lot of groundwork laid. And so that's the process of evangelism. There's lots of different things. Each one of us came to know Christ in a different way. Maybe some of us the same, but I doubt it. So there's a little tiny circle there that few people that you have in your contacts, few people that you have actually jump through that little hole, and that's salvation. And that's when they understand it and they invite Christ into your heart. And so they jump through that little hole and then they finally arrive to the next circle and they are a convert, okay? And they're a believer in Christ, all right? So once they're a believer in Christ, the next road that they start down is the road of establishing, okay? And so how does someone that just became a believer, how do they get established? Bless you. How do they get established? Quiet time. What are the basics? Quiet time, prayer, God's Word, okay? So prayer, Bible study, quiet time, scripture memory. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So they are being transformed in this process. And then 2 Corinthians 3:18. Does anybody know that one?
We Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors of brightly reflective glory of the Lord. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him.
There you go. Thank you very much, Bob. Once they are established, they go on a road and they become an established disciple. Now, the whole time they're a disciple as soon as they come to know Christ, but then there's a point where they become an established disciple. Okay? And so once they're an established disciple, it's sometimes hard to get out of that hole. It's sometimes hard to get out of the circle where you just become a convert and it's safe there. And you don't have to do anything. It's all intake. You don't have to speak in front of people. You don't have to do all these extra things. But as you become an established disciple, then you are trained and you are ready to start equipping others. Okay. And so after you're an established disciple, there's another little tiny hole that a few people jump through. And once they jump through that, they become equipped, and they become equippers, okay? And so they start going through there. Could someone look up for me, unless you haven't memorized Ephesians 4, 11 through 13? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13.
I think it goes something like, and he gave us all the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers, equipping them to the saints that they will do
what you. Okay. And so this is 2 Timothy 2:2, training others so they can become reproducible. And so as you become equipped and as you equip others, you eventually become a laborer, okay? And there's a verse that I've been thinking about a lot this year. It's Psalm 78:72, and it says, "And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them." And to get to Psalm 78:72, to have integrity of heart, to have skillful hands, you need to go through all those other parts. You need to be established. You need to equip others. You can't just go from convert to laborer right away. It usually doesn't work like that. Okay? All right. Do y'all have any questions on this so far? Yes, sir.
Up there, but what is the small hole?
The little, yeah, that's the little hole that few people go through to become a laborer. A lot of people like to stay behind that one hole, and so because it's comfortable there, and you don't have to do all this other stuff. What's that? Yes, sir. Lordship. Ooh, yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. Do you have a verse on that? What is it?
Luke 9:23.
Yeah. What does that say? Then he came to them and said, if anyone would follow after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And so that's lordship. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to add that to this next time we do it. Thank you. So who is involved in man-to-man ministry? All right, we're going to turn on the next page here. So how about you? Me. Me is involved first, okay? So this is the discipler. Okay? One of the things you need is a strong devotional life, okay? So you need to be practicing what you preach. If you want your guy to be getting in the Word, you better be getting in the Word. If you want your guy to memorize Scripture, you better be memorizing Scripture. You want to be a pace setter. Be the kind of man you would like to produce. And so lead by example. There's some Scripture there to go with it that I don't have memorized, but Jim does. You want to be a fat man. Okay, does anybody know what fat stands for?
Faithful,
available, and teachable. Mm-hmm. Okay. A quote by Gene Moore, the message is carried on the mainstream of the life. Okay. And so why is it important for you to be fruitful as the discipler? Why is it important for you to be fruitful? And faithful. Say that again. Can't sell what you don't own. Uh-huh.
Very good. Yes.
It's what? Discipleship is caught more than it's taught. I like that.
God never uses a lie to teach the truth.
Okay. God never uses a lie to teach the truth. Thank you.
We reproduce after our own kind, whether we like it or not.
Yep. We reproduce after our own kind, whether we like it or not.
Uh-huh. Teach what you know.
Yep. Teach what you know. But you reproduce what you are. I like it. Good stuff. All right, I'm glad you guys aren't shy. We like input. We like keeping you guys going. And then we all have weaknesses, even though we're leaders. And so we need to work at them. We need to share them. Okay? You got to shed light on them. You got to work at them, set goals, and do that. What I want you to do is, I'm going to put these two questions up there. I want you to make a list. It says 10, but let's do at least like three of your strengths. What makes it easy for you to work in God's kingdom specifically? And then I want you to write down a few of your most prevalent weaknesses, okay? Which ones can be changed? Which ones do you want to change? And then what can we do to change those, okay? So take a few moments and write a couple of those down. But when you're done, I want you to get in groups of two. I want you to share what your biggest strength is with somebody and then your biggest weakness. And I want you to talk about the weakness and what it looks like and how you can start working on that weakness. Okay? So I'm going to give you some time here. Okay. Go ahead and get in groups of two. And then share your strength, what you think you're strongest at, and what you're weakest at. And then what, y'all discuss what you can do to overcome that weakness. Oh, no. No, I was going to get in on your group. What, have y'all all gone already?
Strengths,
okay. So a strength for me, something that makes it easy for me to work in God's kingdom is, I think my ability to, like, teach, like, stand up in front of an audience like this. This is my first time to do this. And so, yeah, like, it just, I'm nervous about it, but when I just do it, I just start going, and that's it. And then, yeah, so that's a strength for me. For me, my biggest weakness right now is kind of priorities and time management. Like, I commit to way too many things and I try and do way too much and I just like wear myself out. And so to combat that, I'm trying to just not, I guess, select. I'm kind of budgeting my commitments and I gotta stick to that budget of commitments, and so, and it's tough, but it's been nice having days to, you know, just rest. Like, I'm recently married about 4 months ago, and Jen is the same way, my wife, and so we have our weekends where there's no commitments now, finally. And, you know, during the week we have lots of stuff going on, but we're just involved in lots of different ministries and, you know, visiting family and friends, and sometimes it never ends. So, yeah, that's something for me. Okay, all right, we need to get started. Okay, all right, thank you. All right. Let me have your attention. Okay, so we talked about who's involved. We talked about ourselves, and so who's the other person involved in man-to-man ministry? How about the other man? Jesus, yes. He's right in the middle, right in the center. But how about the other man, okay? Him, okay. So he also needs to be a fat man. Not literally. Faithful, available, and teachable, okay? He's a friend, okay? He's not a project, okay? Jim told a story once that he discipled a guy and led him to Christ over a number of years. And Jim, you can correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, because I've only heard it once. But he led the guy to Christ over many years, and they used to go fishing and talk about sports and do all this fun stuff. And as soon as he became a believer, they did Bible study all the time. And Jim said one day he came to him and said, "Hey, Jim, are we ever going to have fun again? All we're doing is Bible study." And so don't forget that even though if you have been working with somebody or praying for somebody for years, they're still a friend, okay? Not just a project, okay? Not just a checkbox. Right? It's not exclusive, okay? And so it's not... what would you say on this, Jim?
There are other people helping this individual as well as you.
Okay, yes. And so there's others helping this person as well as you are. And so it's not just specifically you and him, okay? And it could be through a number of various different things that they're involved in. It could be from work or from school if they go, their family, other friends, okay? And then there are stages, okay? There are stages. And so there's a stage that each person is at and a thing that they're looking for. And so there's a certain level of involvement that you will have with them, okay? And so a couple of stages are intensive, okay? And this is you being intensive with them, meeting every week or twice a week, being a coach, being a spiritual guide, being a discipler, teaching them the basics. And so it's intensive. You're meeting with them all the time. Sometimes people just need help with decisions, okay? And so that's an occasional relationship that you might have with them. And they need knowledge on a subject. Hey, I have a question for you about this. What do you think about this? I need help, organizing this or that. And then this third one is passive, and Jim may have to explain this a little bit more. Actually, I'm going to let Jim explain the passive one because I don't fully understand it.
Okay.
There you go.
Passive is your relationship with people that are living in another city and you can't have access to them. But you can read their books, you can or listen to their messages, and so there's a relationship there that's more passive. It's passive on their part because they don't know that you know them. And the facts are they could be dead by now. Turn to page 4. It's called What to Do. There are two kinds of materials that you can use in helping someone. One is something that you bought that's already made. The other is the kind that you build yourself. There's the roll your own. Some of you know what that means. So, on page four is a little diagram that says, basically shows you that the dashed line there, which are package of materials, you start off using pretty much all package materials. But as the time goes by, you run out of, there just aren't tools for everything you need to have ready to help the man with. So the roll your own starts with something very low, because you're doing it the fastest way, and then later it becomes more prevalent. B, how to design or select the content. First thing is to learn your man. Just ask him questions. Say, well, what do you think, Ken, would be the next best thing for us to do? He may say, well, I don't have very much faith. Well, okay, let's work on faith then. So learn your man. Then consult resources. I'm in the middle of page 4, B2. Your own library. And I guess you saw Kent Humphrey's library out there. He's giving away 400 books that he's read and has no more need for them. And he's an author. He realizes the effort that it takes to have something come together like a book. So he's got his library. Other men, someone you can ask about this individual, the Lord, those two verses there, and the man himself. More lives have been changed by a good listener than by a good speaker. Then you design the content or procure it. Frequently you have a written objective. Not necessarily to pass that on to the individual, but you have it solid in your mind. Then plan the activities for him, which is a list of activities or characteristics that are knowledge or skill that you'd like for this man to have. So you see that diagram there with the circles and the squares, and down below there it says lists. There's about 50 items in there. And this is not on knowledge alone. It's on skills and on character as well. So it takes a while for these things to build in. How long do you think it would take to just pick one of those? How long might it take to get that until it's really operational in your life? There's no hurry in this part of the equipping, discipling. How long would it take to get something really, could range from?
Some one day and some years.
Okay, it could be years. So if you try to do all of these things, it could take you 50 years. So you're not going to run out of ideas, you're not going to run out of material. And I found a lot of lists that people had done before me, and I added them all together. And that's these 50 that you see here. The two circles, the core things that I want to share, like the basics, life messages, and ministry issues. Then there's other things that are electives, or you can farm them out to someone else. You can farm it out to your local church. There's programs going on down there all the time. And you need to know what those are and farm them out to the local church to teach your man in, so you don't have to. So Watermark Church in Dallas has got something they call ED, Equipped Disciple, but it really is the 2-7 material, the Navigator 2-7 material. Well, I didn't want to spend the time going over something that they could get, that my guys could get, just by going down there to Watermark. Because I know the material. If I didn't know the material, I'd be a little bit questionable maybe. So Daryl is here. And I don't know if Mark is here or not. So currently I've got two people, and I've kind of promoted them down there and lent them out. Come back when you can shave. Let me explain what basics are. I think you know those. So that goes up there in the basics column. Assurance of salvation, Lordship of Christ. And then the next one is life messages. These are things that I have unique capability to share and forcefully teach and recognize because of experience in our lives. And the child-parent relationship is one. I have made every mistake in the books. But I would have to say that our strongest trait currently is relationship with the children. Another is faith. God has taught us how to live by faith, and many of you have done that. But whether you're in Christian work or in a corporation, it's your life is built on faith, period, always. And in ministry issues, just about all the ministry issues I want to teach the men, because we have a calling from God to do that. So I pass that on. The training curriculum.
Read those aloud.
Up here?
Satan's method is in reproduction for generation.
Did you get it?
And a word on that is all of those traits fit into one of those three topics. They're either basics, they're life messages, they're ministry issues. We just picked a few to kind of show you how that works.
Okay, Michael. We're going to speed up this a little bit. And that's how we whistle in Chickasha, Oklahoma. There are three, not just, we don't want to have just knowledge, but also skills and also character. So this training curriculum, let's say we wanted to do evangelism. In the first corner, first box at the upper left-hand corner, what knowledge do we want him to have about evangelism? And then how should we teach him this knowledge about evangelism? And then when will we know he has attained this knowledge about evangelism? Then to do the same thing with skills. What skills do we want him to have about evangelism? This is a planning thing. I got it from John Repass, and I've used it extensively. And if this is a very short little introduction, but talk to John Repass about it if you want to get it from the horse's mouth. You want to get it from the other end of the horse? Well, I'll take care of you. And then D, five steps in helping a man, tell him why, show him how, get him started and keep him going, and get him to reproduce in another life. And if you're from Texas, University of Texas in Austin, that second column is for you. First column is for Texas A&M. The questions are questions you might ask, but haven't thought of it yet. Okay, I'm buzzing right along here. How to help. This is page 6. It's pretty. Let me tell you what's in the blanks there. The first thing is affirmation. And underneath the word affirmation, you see it says you are doing well. So the person you're helping, you give him credit for doing well. You are doing well. But then the next line is accountability. We need to work on scripture memory. We need to work on Bible study. So it's a combination of affirmation and accountability. Then the third line is advancement or assignment. It's getting him to go to the next level. There's all these variety of activities that you can get involved with him. And the with him principle is highlighted on the third line. What does that mean, with him principle?
Do things with him.
14, I appointed you to be with. I appointed you to be with.
Anyway, see. It happens to me. The gas runs out of the airplane. You're looking down. Whoa!
I appoint you to be with me to be able to preach and to cast out demons. What Jesus said to his disciples.
Yeah.
I appoint you to be with me.
So we can be with Jesus and all.
Take him with you or share your ministry with him.
Yeah. If a guy won't show his ministry to you, you've got something wrong. Don't tell him what it is.
One thing I wanted to add to that, Jim.
All right.
A list of, like, there's a variety of activities. It doesn't all have to be ministry related. Like, a couple weeks ago, I sat down with a good friend of mine, and we looked at his budget. We made a file for all of his receipts and different things like that. I've helped a friend change the brakes on his car. I mean, just anything you can do with somebody to build that relationship is just important stuff. So, yeah, I do, yeah.
They say people are not interested in how much you know until they understand how much you care. You've heard that before. Okay, the ministry progress. How many of you have gone to a doctor in the last, say, 12 months or so? And if your doctor did not write down something, would you think that's fine or would you be disappointed? He always takes notes. Why? Because you don't want to go back and he starts giving in some evaluation and you say, doctor, you already did that. We already tried that. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if you've ever given somebody a pamphlet that you've already given to them before. I've done that. It's a little bit embarrassing. So this is what I use to keep notes on, and only I make it a full size, enlarge it to its full size page. Those are all explained in the writing on page 7 and 8. I'm going to do a little practice man-to-man session and I'd like for you to evaluate as soon as we finish. Daryl's coming over tonight. I need to get ready. I wish he wasn't coming because I'm busy as a bee. We've got this workshop to do at the... Okay. Bob Bender.
Yes, sir.
All your hair is gone.
It is, yes, sir.
Bob and I were in the Nichols Hills Baptist youth thing. Bob was there, and I was just a chaperone. Sure, it's good to see you, Bob.
Thank you, sir.
Well, let's see. I've got my camera. I need to take a couple of pictures of Daryl for my fundraising. I wish he would give more, but I guess he's doing all he can. Maybe if I invite him to go with me down to Iowa Park. Maybe if I invite Daryl, he can get more serious and maybe money will flow. I hate to do this, but no, I don't. So, here he comes now. Yes, thank you very much.
Appreciate you for making me feel like I'm a cheapskate, Jim.
Well, just you and I are the only ones that know about it. And God, yes. I did bring this to share with you today, but maybe we'll do this next week. There's no hurry. Or 2 weeks. We meet every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
On Tuesday.
Yep.
At the La Salada or something. Mm-hmm. Salata.
Salata.
Place of great salads. And I was just noticing this. I gave this to Daryl the other day. It's evangelism equipment. If you have trouble understanding why I call it evangelism equipment, well, you can ask me after this meeting and I will tell you. Well, Daryl, let me pray for us as we go into this time. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for Daryl. Thank you for the way you've... moved him and gifted him, and used him in Sri Lanka as a missionary and as a Bible study leader, as one who is a team of men that he's working with to build and meet on Wednesday night and another group on Sunday night. And I pray that you would bless him and bless him in our time together here, especially in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, I've been thinking about, perhaps we need, we're not getting in much prayer time together. Would you agree?
Yes.
So, any suggestions?
Well, my suggestion.
suggestion would be to maybe start off more and at the beginning and just kind of talk specifically about things that maybe are involved in my life and even your life that we can pray and lift up before God.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, why don't we do it this way? Let me tell you what I'm thinking. If we drive up in the car and have some prayer time in our car, we jump into your car, jump in my car, and then go into the Salata. Does that sound like a going deal?
Jumping into your car and then into my car and then...
No, we just jump into my car or your car and have some prayer time and then go into the... Or we could do it at the end as well.
We could do that. That would be great.
Okay.
It'd be a little more private as well.
Yes, that's right. Now, tell these guys what your program is, the letter you write me after our sessions.
Like Jim mentioned, we meet every 2 weeks, every other Tuesday, and Jim had asked me to, after each session, to do a summary of our meeting together, basically what we talked about, bullet points to kind of just share for him to kind of recap our meeting together, maybe some of the highlights of our meetings. And it's really benefits both of us, I think. It benefits myself so I can kind of recall that as far as my progress, as far as what we've been involved in, things we've discussed, changes that I see in my own life as a result of our conversation, our time together. And I think Jim just likes to, I don't know what you do with that information, but I think he just likes to see the same thing, the progress as well. We do have some very rich conversations, a rich time together, prayer and Bible study. So we all include that as well as life issues.
Good. The letter that you've written to me, as I look back over, getting ready and it's in the file over here. There are some of those that I cannot remember, and either I didn't read them, or I needed the refreshment of it. And you said it was refreshing, and it's highly refreshing for me. So I want to thank you for that, doing that. And look forward to it for many years.
It's my pleasure.
Now, is there anything that we need to talk about?
Why don't we talk about work?
Okay. I started off asking you a question about 3 or 4 months ago. Do you like your job? And you said...
I hated my job.
What's transpired?
I'm sorry?
What has transpired?
Well,
or another way to say that is what's happened. No. If you're from Loma Linda.
It's like being put on the spot here. I was really going through a rough time. I've worked for my company for 12 years, and I've had this conflict within me. I don't know if any of you have been in this situation, but I've had this conflict in me as far as ministry versus working in the, I guess, what do you call it, the marketplace. And there's a lot of pros and cons for both sides, but I've always had this desire to do missions and do ministry, and I've never really been able to reconcile both of those as into one particular direction. And so Jim has helped me walk through that through a series of weeks and through a series of questions and a lot of prayer time that kind of helped me see that I can do both in the workplace. And there's been many opportunities to do that, reaching out to people. There's a lot of business as missions opportunities that I see now that I really haven't seen before.
And it's a good time for us to, now that we're kind of taking inventory of our progress, is there anything that I have done or not done that has caused you to be, let's say, disappointed in me? Or it would just be an improvement, something I could improve on that would make our times more rich?
I don't think there's any disappointment, Jim, at all. When I first when we first started meeting together, I wasn't really sure what to expect. Jim and I just started meeting together August of 09, and so we've got a really short tenure together. But
We got started about this time last year, but not with the regularity of it.
Exactly. We actually met here at the last KMI. Last year, you were actually playing in the band last year, and so we got involved together on a bi-weekly basis in August, and then you're asking me what question was it that you asked me?
What can I do to improve my?
Oh, I'm sorry. One thing that I've really, we've kind of got to a point now that I would probably like to see is maybe you ask me the question, is there anything in your mind or in your heart that you would like to address before we get started on, because it's really easy for you and I to get started in talking, and we don't have either one of us are shy, so.
Okay, now that we're here, let's just give it a try.
Okay.
Is there anything that... what is it when you turn red, a little bit red? Blush?
Yes.
Okay.
Very easy.
Okay, so what's the question?
I didn't expect you to put me on the spot here, Jen. I really appreciate this. probably the question is that I have today would be, how do you disciple someone without just being a friend? Sometimes I feel like there's people that I am discipling at this moment, and I think in my last letter I even stated that to you, that there's a 17-year-old high school kid that I'm discipling right now, and sometimes I feel like I am just a friend to him and not really much more than that. We play football together on the weekends, on Sunday afternoons, and he's involved in always in our Bible study, and some of the fruit that I see is not very, it's not as expedient, I should say, as I would expect. Maybe I'm just a little bit too impatient. I don't know.
You know, I think this is something that we need to plug in for the next 6 or 8 sessions that we have, and start out with something. Has there been any progress in this issue? And just see what God will focus our attention on. And there's a book that I've got that I'll give to you and ask you to read that book. Or at least there's a couple of chapters I'd like for you to read, written by Jerry White. And so let's start from there. Have we got? Would you say where you agree to that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so we have an agreement.
Well, in front of all these witnesses, absolutely.
Is there anything else that you'd like to make known to me or ask me about?
Not today. I think we're good.
Okay. Now, we can't depart without...
Scripture memorization?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How many verses do you have?
I've got 15 with me.
And can you quote them?
Yes.
One way to find out is to...
Do I want to?
One way to find out is to plug it in and make it work. Okay. However, the time is fleeting. So why don't I ask you to pray for us and close our time, and then we're going to get our panel up here to answer all the questions. So be thinking about your question for some of the richest people doing this kind of ministry.
Sure. Pray. God, we thank you so much for the power of your mighty Spirit that lives in all of us. We thank you, God, for bringing us together this weekend to remind us of the importance of being your called children and to do your work. We thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to serve you. Thank you for calling us out of darkness and into light. Thank you for the opportunity to be mentored, to be discipled, and to disciple others. We thank you for that partnership that we have with you. Father, we just pray, God, that your light will be shine throughout this world. Thank you, God, for your Son Jesus and for His mercy and His grace. In Christ, we pray. Amen.
In the early days, when I first met Daryl, we were talking about some stuff in his background, and I said, "I don't think that you'll be happy with me or with our calling, and so I don't think we should continue." I mean, I don't know how you remember this, but he persevered, and we've developed a really great relationship. And I just want you to know how much I love you.
Thank you. I love you too, Jim.
Okay, let's give Daryl a hand. Just... Let's ask the panel members to come right on up. If you look in your wallet, you'll have a little card. Oops. Okay, who's got the first question? While the panel is coming up.
Jim coming up. Jim.
Oh yes.
Do we need to have chairs up here?
Yeah, let's grab a chair and sit there.
Can I give you a question while you're gathering your crowd?
Yes, please.
You want to hand me the microphone?
I'd just like to ask the panel a simple question. Seems like in many man-to-man discipling relationships, there comes a point where the man you're working with seems to silently draw a line in the sand. And he says, "I'm unwilling to go beyond or cross that line." And you sense a gradual separation. You sense a gradual breakdown in his responsiveness. And you're faced with the challenge. How much time do I give this guy who seems to have cooled off in his response? How aggressive do I get in probing his sin, whatever that is that seems to be pulling him away? At what point do I choose someone else over this guy who seems to have cooled in his response?
Let me just give one little solution, and that is consult other people about this. So this came up actually last week, and I have probably spoken to about 10 men to ask them what they would do in a case like that. So if you've got a good Rolodex, that's where you can start. Anybody, who would like to add to that?
Okay, I'm elected. I'd say, just like your son's breaking it off with his girlfriend, they need to talk. You need to talk about it and find out, or do you really want to grow? Do you want more help? Or usually they'll come to you and say, "You know, I'm now going to be doing this at my church," or if they have another opportunity. And the thing that's really important is to bless them and pray for them and tell them how much you love them. And Gene Moore really helped us years ago by saying, "You'd like to help people this much." Sometimes they only let you help you this much. And when they can let you help, you help them this much, you just praise God, thank the Lord, and press on.
Mm-hmm.
But don't break off the friendship. You know, you let them know you're still friendly and make a call occasionally. That's what happens.
I don't know about you, but I think every man is a little bit wondering why you're even spending time with him in the first place. I think there's a little bit of skepticism sometimes. What are you really wanting? What are you really doing? And I find that when I kind of see that in a man's eyes, or he's not really being open to me, I ask him the question, "Why do you think that I'm spending time with you? What do you think why am I doing this?" And get him to talk. And then I bring him to First Thess 2. And you know, Paul is talking with these people, and he says, you know, in the 13, that you may walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory, and that you would approach the Word as the Word of God, not as the Word of man. So I asked him the question, is that something that's really on your heart? Are you really wanting to walk worthy of God? And if that's the case, then that's why I'm spending time with you, because I want to help you walk worthy of God, and I want to help you treat the Word of God as the Word of God, not as the Word of man. And so, if that's what's on your heart, that's what I want to do. And I've seen it where a guy kind of visibly relaxes and say, okay, I can understand that. You're not trying to get me in the navigators. You're not trying to give me some doctrine or some deal or something like that. But you're really helping me walk worthy of God. And I think that takes the sting out of it. You know, why are you really doing this?
A verse I can add to it is 2 Timothy 3, 7. For the scriptures are the equipment, are a comprehensive equipment in the man of God, and fit him fully for all branches of his work. And if you're trying to do this without ready knowledge of the Bible, you will definitely fail. And because you're going to be taught radically and continually. Peter.
Depending on the circumstances, it might be time to graduate. So, you know, I don't know whether it's been a short time or a long time. So following what Jack said, he may have seen opportunity. God may have increased his heart to some kind of other ministry or thing. And he may need to go out and stretch his wings for a while before he comes back. And so as Jack said, you want to maintain an open relationship. You want, when he leaves, you want the door to be open so he can come back. And so he may need to go stretch his wings for a while and sort things out. Or, you know, so a lot of it depends on where he is and, you know, and what he's doing.
The case of the dropout, Jim Downing, would you give us a comment on that? How do you treat the dropout?
I'm not here to do anything. I think I get what's going on here. I feel the devil's greatest weapon today is getting people preoccupied with the wrong priority. And we look for the cause. If his interest seems to be drifting off, it's probably because he is getting preoccupied with another priority. Try to find out what it is and ask if it's more important than what you're doing.
Way to go. Yeah, that's great. Hey, Jim, how old are you now? How old are you, Jim?
96 and a half.
All of a sudden, I feel younger. I feel like a little leaguer in the Yankee locker room. This is a spooky bunch up here. But I want to flip this just a little bit. Same answer to the question. But I think we need to consider the possibility that they may have outgrown us. There's just so much we can give a guy. And if our goal is to make a disciple, then the greatest thing in the world, like Peter said, is graduation. You want to see his taillights going by. I mean, that's an affirmation, not a disaffirmation. And, you know, sometimes maybe all you can do is put the right door on the car as it goes by. Sometimes you get the whole banana. But I think it's important, so important, to cross-pollinate our guys. We reproduce after our own kind. That's a law of the harvest. We also reproduce our weaknesses in guys. So if we can get them to somebody else that's strong where we're weak, then we make a more complete man. And my whole life is a patchwork of guys that have invested, you know, in me. Some for years, some just shortly. So it's okay for a guy to graduate, and his lack of interest may be that we're boring him to death because we're just not taking him where he needs to go.
Yeah, we need to be holding up the big vision. Okay, let's see if we go to another question. Bob.
My question is, you guys have lost me. You're on the other side of the chasm. How do you get this man? You're talking about advanced discipleship. How do you get this man talking to you in the first place? What are the first steps? You haven't covered that to me.
Okay, great. Okay, Bob, who wants to take that? First steps.
One of our staff used to say this, I will teach you on your terms. I will train you on my terms. So if the person has to be someone that has interest in you giving him, what do you got? And then it comes on your terms, not his terms.
Good answer. Bruce?
Yeah. I think part of this is the initial relationship. The initial relationship needs to be you to him. Your quiet time being shared, your verses being shared. He starts to see that you're doing things that he's not, and then you invite him into that. So that's what connects him originally. Then you can push him to do something more than where he is. But it starts with your example. If you're not doing it in front of him where he can see it, you're just another one of the guys in the crowd.
Well, that's really the question. How do you build that initial relationship?
Are you talking about recruiting?
Recruiting, whatever you call it.
Gene Ward had the best term for that. What do you call people? June bugs, Jim? They're the ones that are stuck on the screen door that you can't peel them off. So, example, a guy I'm working with right now, I was teaching a leadership class for Kaufman County. And as a fishing pool, you can't recruit them if you're not fishing for them. And we did the opening thing, and I used Lauren Sandy's Leaders Bring Vision, Faith, and Courage for a coordinated effort and talked about who Lauren Sandy was. Well, this guy was there after everybody went home. He was desperate to find an older man. I said, who are you talking about? But he wanted an older man that could work with him and help him get underway. And on that topic, so many of our 20-somethings and 30-somethings that we're fishing for are out of broken homes. This guy's dad left when he was 2 years old. And so we sort of had to do the dad stuff and the relational stuff for a couple of years as we began to do the discipleship stuff. Now, he's really plugged into the discipleship stuff, and he wants that. And maybe I've wasted 2 years on this guy. I don't know. I don't think so. But I didn't have anybody better at the time. So, you know, I'll hang on to this wildcat until I get a different one. But the fruit is starting to come up. It's just the soil is harder maybe than it was a generation ago.
You dig the hole and hope he doesn't disappear at the bottom of it. But I think that to be straightforward with him that what you're trying to do. I heard Dr. Wilkinson, forget his first name,
Bruce,
giving a talk at a seminary, and he said, here's how you get into discipling someone. You go to the bookstore and buy any two books written by Nav Press. And then you go to somebody and say, hey, I've got this book I'm going to study. Would you like to study with me? If he says no, go to somebody else. If that one says no, and he said, pretty soon somebody will say yes, if not else, to get rid of you. And then he says, you fake it. He says, you've been faking it all your life, just fake it then. And open the book. And it's bona fide, it does work, because you'll eventually get somebody. I could testify. Bruce, did you have one?
Well, I don't know. I think you're asking the question, and we're talking stages in a relationship. And, you know, if I led somebody to Christ, and as a father to this one that I've led to Christ, it's all on my shoulders, really, to begin to develop that relationship. And so I need to take the initiative. I need to go to him. I need to set, you know, I have to have things in mind as to what I'm going to try to help him with. And if I pick up a young guy that's a Christian already and I want to win his heart, I kind of have the stage of what I call fun and games, in a sense. Not that I'm having to play with him so much, but I'm taking the initiative to really get to know him. And a great verse that meant a lot to me early on was Proverbs 20, verse 5. It says, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. That's where I need to be. And so in that stage,
I'm doing the preparation in my mind and heart. I'm going to him, baiting him with a verse or a thought or, you know, where are we? So that I move towards a stage where I call it casual man-to-man, where, you know, I can just drop by and begin to win his heart and share a verse. And pretty soon, he's going to say, man, that was really, I really enjoyed that. Could we do that again? And it's not until that process goes on for a while that I would go into what I'd call structured man-to-man, where we've got an appointment, we meet, he's got assignment, this kind of stuff. That's kind of down the road. And I think the danger is, even in a group like this, is that we think, well, that's what discipleship is, so I go to the guy and I haven't won his heart, I don't know where he is, you know, he doesn't have confidence in me, and I'm trying to do structured man-to-man. And then the guy poops out, you know, and kind of doesn't. And I'm really irritated with him because he didn't do his assignment. Well, man, it takes a long time. I remember leading a guy to Christ when I was in the Air Force. And I spent 13 weeks going over assurance of salvation every time. And he didn't get it. And, you know, I thought, wow, where is this guy? And finally, at the end, you know, he said, hey, you mean I can know I have assurance of salvation? I said, yeah. He said, well, kind of, why didn't you tell me this before? But the kicker is, I got a letter from his mom during the Vietnam War. His mom wrote me and said, thank you for helping my son, because I know where he is. Because you spent time with him in helping him with assurance of salvation. He got killed, you know, Vietnam War. So I thought, wow, I spent 13 weeks just to get one little concept across the guy, and it really paid off.
Maybe you guys ought to get together and just, on a case-by-case basis, talk about how you encountered him, what the strength of the relationship is. I'm fond of asking people, where do you think we should go from here? And that seems to obviate any worry that he has that he doesn't know where we're going. Communication and continual communication is very significant, the point also. But I think asking him, just being polite, don't assume that because you've got two nail press books in your pocket that you're going to, you know, get there. It's going to.
I think that's a great suggestion.
It's going to get there. Okay, let's see. Our time is about
quarter after right now.
Okay.
Lunch starts in 15 minutes.
All right, we got 15 minutes. If you'd like to continue, if you need an appointment to make, go ahead and slip out. But otherwise, let's take another couple of questions. Okay.
What about, like, when you are discipling somebody, meeting with a guy, and, like, every time, maybe not every time, but you're just tired and worn out, you know, are you doing something wrong, are you doing something right? What have y'all experienced that, and what do you think about that?
You mean you're tired and worn out because you're meeting with him? Well, working with a fellow is extremely expensive. It's extravagant. When I was in the Air Force, I could only meet with one guy at a time because on top of my dues and everything else, the emotional drain was significant. Because see, the things that are on his heart, the concerns, the problems he's facing, I start to feel those. And so you have to find out what your natural limit is. Now, if it's because you feel like you're pushing the rock uphill, then maybe you're meeting with the wrong fellow. You know, you're trying to lead a close relationship with Christ, but he's interested in going off that way. He wants to be the president of his company. Well, so now he's the wrong guy. So the weariness there comes from the fact that, well, you're not a kindred spirits. You're not even walking in the same direction, so you're pulling against each other. So those are at least two things that could be the reason why.
Sue, I came in and flopped down on our couch in Singapore, and she said, oh, I've been spending all afternoon with another girl, all single, and she said, "I must be doing it wrong because I'm so tired. I'm just wrung out. I must be doing it wrong." And I said, if you didn't feel like you were wrung out, that's wrong. And this is costly. It's like Peter said, it definitely is costly. But once in a while, you'll get a guy who buoys you on and encouragement to you. How many of you would like to have somebody like Daryl to meet with? Everybody, Daryl. See you later. Okay. Yeah, see those taillights. Randy.
Yeah, I think one thing that I think about is, it's really about the relationship. If your purpose with meeting somebody is to just turn them into a disciple, to me, that's the fruit of the relationship. You know, your purpose is to build a relationship, and the result is they become a disciple. Your purpose shouldn't be necessarily coming in to say, I just want to make a disciple, and, you know, it seems like that comes from the relationship. So if you're feeling frustrated or something, maybe you're not building the relationship. You're just trying to produce a product, you know. I'm sorry, there wasn't a question there.
No, good statement. Good comment. Very, very well thought out.
I got a question. I saw on the Navigator web page, I just kind of like to know, is there a place for this? And they call it side-by-side discipleship. I guess, you know, I've been running Navigator for a good 20, 30 years. There's always, you know, always hear the Paul and the Timothy thing. Where's Paul? Where's Timothy? What about the side-by-side? Is there a place for that? Where I guess maybe there's mutual encouragement? Is there, I don't know if I'm making sense or not with that, but is that a viable way of going about doing this? Or?
Who would like to answer this?
Well,
I mean, I know you guys have Paul and Timothy, but I just was curious about the side-by-side thing on the NAV webpage.
Well, I think that, you know, as we progress with NAV, then we should enter a stage of co-laboring together. And it's not always teacher-pupil, but we're co-laboring together in the gospel. And that, I mean, there can be a disparity of age of 40 years, but you can still co-labor together in the gospel because you're on the same page and you're at that stage. And so I think there's a point where, yes, we need to graduate our men to where they're having a successful ministry, but that we could be shoulder to shoulder with them and encouraging them and helping them, and they, me too, and vice versa. But that takes some time and years to go by. But, you know, if we don't end up co-laboring, I think maybe there's still something wrong.
You know? I would take you to 1 Thessalonians 5:12-14, and it describes the job of a leader and the job of a follower and the job of a side-by-side. It's got the whole picture right there, and it's worth spending a lot of time on. Okay, another question. Good questions.
Question in the area of discernment, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but how do you figure out what this guy needs?
Okay, quick answer. How do you know what the man needs?
Quick answer, first thing, go back to the good old basics. You draw the wheel, talk about that a little bit, and look at some verses, and, you know, the bridge, and just go over some of the basic Navigator illustrations, the prayer hand. And pretty soon things come up, and you're able to discern where to head.
Yeah.
I always start with the beginning with Christ and the lessons of assurance. One, because most guys haven't memorized any scripture. Two, because those are foundational topics. And if they didn't get those earlier on in their life, wherever, you know, God saved them or whatever, then it's going to come back to haunt them. And besides, those are things that he needs to pass on to the next guy. So we go over those. Now, if guys come out of a college program or, you know, I know he's done all that stuff for 2 or 3 years, then that's different. But most of the guys I recruit that God gives me come out of my church or neighbor or something, and so they tend to be Christians already, but they just felt like they wanted to grow, and so that's where I started.
Question: How many of you have not been sort of officially discipled? If we were said, how were you discipled, or who would you'd have a kind of a blank in there? How many have a blank in sort of being said? So all the rest of you have been discipled by somebody? That's fantastic. Try that in the church group on Wednesday night. So, okay, time's up. I want you to give me another 5 minutes of critique on this, in case that Michael and I like to go on the road. We need your comments. So, fill it. It's in your yellow book, the yellow brick book. And give us the next three or four minutes to give us some ideas.
I want to tell them one thing, too. One other thing, too, is if, I don't know if anybody still needs handouts. We found a bunch of them. So if you need them, we have them up here. We're going to get this online. This handout came from a 22-page handout that Jim put together. And so we condensed it and tried to fit everything we could in here. And so that'll be on the MP3 that you get as well, along with the PowerPoint and all that stuff. And so if you need any of that, you should be able to get it. So.
Our website?
No, I don't think there's a website. No. Actually, no, there is. Discipleshiplibrary.com. Discipleshiplibrary.com. And actually, there's a bunch of stuff on there. And eventually, these all the workshops will be on there with the PDFs.
It takes about 2 or 3 months to get it all out there.
So discipleshiplibrary.com. And then if you get the MP3 CD from the conference, it'll be on there as well.
Okie doke.